Thank you, Lord, for this word, encouraging words. Lift us up today. We need help. We need our hope to be revived. We look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. By your Holy Spirit, help us to understand these words and apply them. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a person can hope in someone or something, but many times the help doesn't come from that someone or something due to various circumstances. You had hope, but no help came. But as we read today, there is one, the one that is our hope and also the one that can also help all the time, because nothing is impossible for him. And that one is Jesus Christ, our hope and our help. He has all power. Our text today is twofold. It relates to one's salvation, and it relates to our help and hope while we're living on this earth in our daily life. He's our hope and our help. In salvation, one can hope they will make it to heaven. I remember before I was a Christian, if people would ask, you know, do you think you will go to heaven? I would say, I hope so. A lot of people hope so, but they will not make it to heaven. You have to go through the gate, the door, the one way to the Father, Jesus Christ. He is hope, and he's your help in getting there. Now in life, one can hope in getting help in different areas, but not get help. But if one's hope is in Jesus, the Lord, they have a real hope and they will get help. Always. But not always the way we desire or picture it. But it will be help according to God's way and will. And it will be best for us. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I would like to read to you. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle to Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. He's our hope. Psalm 46:1. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now back to our text, John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. After some time, Jesus left the area of Galilee and went up to Jerusalem. It was south, but you always go up to Jerusalem. And now we will be studying about another sign, another miracle. In verses 1 to 9, the story and the sign. And next time in verses 10 and on, what resulted from that sign. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. So there's this pool in Jerusalem called Bethesda. In Hebrew, it means house of mercy. There used to be a hospital called Bethesda Naval Hospital. It's been changed to Walter Reed National Medical Center in Bethesda. It's the House of Mercy. Now, in this place in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate, that place has been excavated and found to be near the Church of St. Anne today. It tells us there were five porches in around this place, a large open space around this pool, which were able to hold a large amount of people. Now, what kind of people were staying there in these porches, in these open spaces around the pool? Were they people on vacation? Resting, relaxing? The well-to-do? No. It tells us in verse 3, in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. So it was a great multitude of people, paralyzed, lame, hurting people, just waiting for the moving of the water in this pool. Needy people, helpless people, afflicted people, people who couldn't help themselves, people in need. And they were waiting with anticipation for the moving of the water, for the pool to be stirred up every day, waiting for that pool to be stirred up. Their hope was in the moving of the water. Why? Verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool, stirred up the water, then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. An angel of the Lord, a miraculous event happened from time to time at this house of mercy, the pool of Bethesda. But their hope and their faith, their help, was in this pool being stirred. An angel would come down at a certain time and stir up the water. That was God's mercy being poured out. Angel, go down there and stir up that water. And he would stir up the water. Then can you imagine the mad rush to get to the pool first? People trampling over each other, stumbling around, people that couldn't even walk, maybe trying to roll down or whatever. Because whoever got in there first, and only the first one, would be made well. All the people there, only one would be made well. Of whatever disease he had, the blind, the lame, incurable diseases, in first you're healed. I can't imagine the chaos once the water was stirred. Can you imagine blind people trying to find their way, the lame crawling frantically to reach the water, helpless people trying and failing time after time? No hope this time. Have you ever felt hopeless? That everything's against you? There is no help or no one that cares? Can you imagine this situation? Only the first one in was healed. But now, Jesus is on the scene. He's breaking down those first only barriers, opening the door for all, bringing hope. Can you see this? There's no first or second or last. He's the equalizer. All that come to him, he hears and helps. First of all, this story clearly demonstrates the hopeless state of sinners trying to reach God through their own works, through religion, through their own efforts. Not even one can get in. It's hopeless because salvation is by grace. One way, through Jesus. Jesus did it. Opened the door, and now our hope and help is in him. We are helpless and hopeless without Jesus. But Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us and showed us the way to the Father. He opened the door, for all to have access to God, to talk with, have a relationship with the true and the living God, to become his child and have his prayer heard and receive mercy and grace in one's time of need. I'm getting ahead of the story, but as I look at this account and these helpless people, I want to think of what we do have today, an open door, and that door is Jesus. We can be last to come to Jesus and receive help, and our hope and our help is in Jesus. Let's turn, please, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Glorious verse. Verses 14 to 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He pleads with us, please come, I will give you help. Now, in verse 4, the water would be stirred. And the first one in healed. As far as salvation is concerned, Jesus came and the water is still being stirred. It hasn't settled down yet. Anyone can still come to Jesus, give their life over to him. The door is still open. The water is still being stirred. One can be saved. But pretty soon, it will be still, and it will be over. The door will be closed. I would encourage you, if you haven't come to Jesus today, one day the door will be closed. The water will stop stirring. Verse 5, at this pool, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time. 38 years. Among the crowd, there was this man who caught Jesus' eye. Jesus is aware of him. We don't know how old he is, but he had an infirmity for 38 years. This was longer than Jesus was alive. So this started for him even before Jesus was born. However, before Jesus was born, he knew who he was and he came for him. Jesus knew this day would happen. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, Jesus knows, he knows our situation. Maybe sometime you feel, Lord, do you care? Do you know? Do you see? This hurts. It seems hopeless, helpless. He knows. He has a plan. As we read in James, let patience have her perfect work so that he may be complete and mature, needing nothing. He knew him. He knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. And Jesus said to him, do you want to be made well? Jesus notices him and speaks. Now, Jesus speaks to him. And notice, in this story, the man doesn't come to Jesus and ask for help. Jesus comes to him. Just as we read in Hebrews, the Lord pleads with us, come to me in your time of need to find mercy and grace. The door has been opened. You have access. He knows his state. He knows he has need. And he's going to approach this man and teach all of us some lessons here. We shared last week about faith required. Faith is what God requires. Believing in him. He comes to him and asks. He asks him a question in verse 6. Do you want to be made well? He doesn't say, do you have a desire to be healed? Or would you wish to be healed? Or do you wish you were healed? He simply asks, do you want to be healed? No ifs, ands, or buts. Just, do you want to be healed? Do you need help? Do you want this resolved? That's all Jesus asks. Do you want to be healed? He's challenging the man in his faith. As we read these stories, we see what God and Jesus are doing. They're drawing faith out of people because we must believe, and then things happen. He's challenging the man with faith. This is what Jesus went around doing, drawing people out of themselves and their limitations to a place of faith, because faith is the place of victory. Jesus can do for you, he can do for me, what we can't do for ourselves. And it starts with salvation. Salvation for the best or worst of sinners. Jesus saves the guttermost to the uttermost. Do you want to be made well? That was the question. I wish a wise answer would have just said, yes. Just yes. Simple answer. Yes. Do it. The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. We call these excuses. You know, the sick man answered, says the sick man. You know, we're all sick in a way. Different areas of life. He gave Jesus an excuse, and we have excuses. Well, I can, or this is, you don't know what's happened in my life or what's going on, and well, I don't think it's possible. And we can give the Lord excuses. Jesus came to him and said, do you want to be made well? Isn't that simple? What's a simple answer? Yes. It seems sometimes we even make excuses for God not helping us. Oh, well, I don't deserve the Lord to help me now because I haven't been so good, or I can understand because of my past why the Lord wouldn't do this for me. Don't make excuses. Isn't it hard to accept that Jesus will say, wait, or later, or no, I have this for you instead? You see, he will help. We always don't like the answer. But we need to say, yes, I do want to be made well. Whatever way you choose, Lord. He gave Jesus an excuse for not being able to be made well. What did he do? He did what it tells us in Proverbs 3:5, what we're told not to do. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. Just trust in the Lord in all his ways. Don't lean on your own understanding, and he will answer you. The man used his own understanding. He relied on his own intellect and resource, and he said, and he gives Jesus an answer. He felt hopeless because his hope was in himself and that pool, and he couldn't do anything about it. He said, sir, verse 7, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Oh, Jesus, you don't know what goes on here. When that water gets stirred, I can't run down there with him because no one's here to help me. No one will pick me up and carry me down to the water. And while I try to maybe get down there through crawling or some way, another steps down before me. I can never make it. For me, it's hopeless in my own understanding, in my own intellect, in my own resource. It's just impossible. Is anything impossible for the Lord? If you said, no, you're wrong, the Bible says he cannot lie. He will never lie. So his word is sure, but nothing else is impossible for the Lord. What he's really saying is, you know, I need a man to help me. I need a real strong, fast man to help me get into that pool so I can be healed. You know, when you feel you're at the end of your rope, grab on to Jesus. Probably said to Jesus, hey, listen, fella. Healings are done this way here. We wait. Angel comes down, stirs the water, first one in is healed. You must be a stranger here. That's the way it happens here in these parts. And we can put God in a box and say, it has to be done this way. Or here's the way it's always done. And it always happens when someone prays at church or whatever. We have these excuses why we feel the Lord wouldn't help us. Jesus has opened the door. He loves you. You're God's child if you're a believer. He's the door to life and eternal life, and he is your help and your hope. There are so many lessons in this text. We need the Holy Spirit to speak to us because there's so much to go over. Your answer, my answer, is Jesus and being obedient to his commands. Your answer is not and having someone to help you into that pool. It would be nice. God uses people to help, but not always. That might not come. We don't just hope or wait for that. Your answer, my answer, is Jesus. He's always present. Today you may feel alone. You may be alone. But know this, Christian, if you have Jesus, you are not alone. Don't be waiting for someone or something. Go to Jesus, keep in prayer, and listen. Stay in fellowship with him and listen and allow him to work in your life. And the answer may be in a way you don't want it answered. Maybe you have your mind made up. It has to be this way. This is the way things are done. This is the way he's helped other people. I have in my mind the way I should be helped. Have your faith in Jesus. Remember, he loves you. Put all your eggs in one basket, Jesus. Actually, I just thought of this. Jesus is that Easter basket. He rose again. We call that Easter, Resurrection Day. And he's the one we put all our eggs in one basket, in Jesus. We trust him. See, he had an excuse. He was short-sighted. He leaned on his own understanding. He thought it was impossible. He said in verse 7, I can get to the pool if only I had someone to help me. Do you think he was trying to get across to Jesus? Hey, you look pretty strong. Why don't you help me? Why don't you pick me up and carry me down to the pool when it stirs? Maybe he's thinking, maybe this man will stay with me and be there when the water stirs. But Jesus has other ways. He's not going to carry him to the water. He has a better way, which we're going to see, because nothing is impossible with God. This man was looking to the pool and to man, and Jesus was saying, look at me. Maybe today some of you are looking for a specific answer in a specific way. Looking to man or the angel or the pool. Jesus says, keep your focus on me. The pool, the people are limited. Jesus isn't. Keep looking to the Lord. It's a challenge to have faith in him. Jesus answers in verse 8. Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." Aren't those great words? Rise, take up your bed, and walk. You notice there's three commands here? And all three commands are impossible for him. "I can't do that, Lord." All three commands are impossible. To obey Jesus here would require this man to step outside of his own understanding and limitations, logic, capabilities, and just have faith and believe and obey. That's also a key word. Faith plus obedience, whatever the Lord says. Number one, rise. That means to have faith, obey his word. And by your choice and your will, without excuse, you rise. You rise above the situation. Number two, take up your bed. What do we get out of that? Take up your bed. No doubting, no backup plan. The bed's gone. Well, if the answers don't come, I'm back in bed. Take up your bed. Just in case it doesn't work, I'm going to keep the bed. No covering all the bases. Get rid of the mattress. Literally, nothing to fall back on. And then walk. Rise, take up your bed, and the third thing is walk. Go forward by faith. New life, get on with it, and don't look back. Start living that new life, because you aren't going back. I want you to rise, take up your bed, and walk. Just like salvation, we become a new person, a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away, all things become new. Now, to this man lying there by the pool of Bethesda with an infirmity for 38 years, no walking, that is an impossible command. So it comes down to two choices. We all have two choices when the Lord speaks. Obey or not obey. When you obey, you're blessed. When Jesus said, "Come to me," I'm glad I responded and was saved. I came to him. I realized he's the only way. When I need help, when I need healing, when I need anything, I must go to Jesus. No excuses. You're not too bad. You're not too good. It's not that you can't live the Christian life. You're not religious. Forget all of that. Come to Jesus and for salvation. He accepts all who will come to him. He will by no means cast you out. Go forward. Choose the new life. Verse 9, what does he do? "And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath." Immediately, he obeyed, one command at a time. He exercised his faith in the Lord. He stood up on those 2 feet that haven't been used for 38 years. And maybe you've been going through something for a long time. Don't give up hope. Focus on the Lord. Your hope is in Jesus, not the way you think it should work out. He did the impossible because he didn't make excuses now. He just obeyed the command of the Lord, and he received mercy and grace. He rose. He took up his bed and walked. Praise the Lord. He received strength when he exercised his faith to stand on his feet. You notice that? Many times we're waiting for the strength first, then I'll get up and walk, move on with my life. Well, I don't know that that's faith. It's like saying, well, I'll have faith in the Lord as long as he does this first, works this out first. Well, that's not faith. Faith is he received strength when he exercises faith, when he willed to stand up. God says, do this. Then there's two choices. We do it or we don't. No excuses. But I can't just obey the Lord. Deny self, true in salvation. Deny self, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. Same thing with salvation. Now, it tells us in verse 9 it was the Sabbath. That's going to cause some problems. Because things like this weren't to be done. He wasn't to rise and walk and go somewhere on the Sabbath. And we're going to cover that next week when you join us next week. But I'm going to summarize this story right now if you want to write this down. I'm going to summarize this story. There are six things that are going on here. Six things, and I'll repeat them twice. 6 points. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Verses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 9. They go right in order. First, verse 5. A man needs help. Verse 6, step 2. The Lord comes to help and draws out faith. Step 3, verse 7. Excuses and logical reasons, that's the flesh. Step 4, verse 8. The word of the Lord, the command. You hear from the Lord. Step 5 in verse 9. Faith is applied. And step 6 in verse 9. Healing comes in a changed life. So, verse 5, a man needs help. Next, verse 6, the Lord comes to help. Verse 7, excuses, logical reasons, letting the flesh in the way. Next, verse 8, the word of the Lord, the command from the Lord, you hear from the Lord. Next, step 9, faith applied. And then verse 9, healing, change life. The question today, where are we? Where am I? Where are you with this in our life? Are you in first step, verse 5, you need help? Then you go to verse 7, you're giving excuses? Well, take verse 9 and apply your faith. Maybe you're in verse 8, you've heard the command of the Lord. Choose the last step, verse 9, obey and receive help from the Lord. Are you waiting for someone to help you into the pool? Or waiting for a stirring of the water? An emotional experience? I would encourage you, hope in Jesus. Be in his word and listen for his command, his word. He's right in front of you. Listen. You see, Jesus was there with this man, but also in full view was the pool. He had a choice, Jesus or the pool. He could wait long, could wait many more years even. The pool, the angel, the stirring of, or Jesus, which is immediate. His hope and his trust ended up being in Jesus, and he attained victory. Let's close with this, Psalm 121, please. Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes to the Lord, to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord who is the creator of all things. God, we thank you for your word today. We want to thank you that we do have help and we do have hope because we have Jesus. Lord, I pray we all take these words to heart today and that the burdens are gone. I pray we all have a wonderful day walking with you, knowing that nothing is impossible for you. I would pray for those out there today who heard this word, Lord, and have been carrying some burdens or making excuses or going through difficult times. Life is difficult. Trials come. I would pray for them, Lord, if there's been a struggle. And I pray you set them free, that your word would take root in their heart and mind. And today, they would let go. Just look to you. Wait on you and see the salvation of the Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless all of us. Keep us all well. We pray, Lord, that your will is done in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.